into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See Dunlewy.net.
Now then, you're welcome back. So similar story to Dublin, Fredrik Jensen with the only goal of the game between Ireland and Finland. It was a 1-0 win. We will hear from Aaron Connolly, first of all, here speaking to Sky Sports after the game.
I think we deserve to win that game. I'm not even sure what happened for the goal. Obviously, we've lost at the back and they've punished us, but no, it's disappointing. It's another game that we haven't scored in, and now you feel like there's going to be a break sometime for us, and we'll put one in, but it just doesn't look like it's coming at the minute.
We just spoke to Ender Stevens. I don't think he saw it either. Did you literally sort of have your back to go and you're walking towards the halfway line?
Sorry?
Were you walking towards the halfway line when the goal was scored?
Yeah, I didn't see what happened. So I'll need to see that back, but obviously it's frustrating to concede and not get something out of the game when I thought we definitely did deserve something. So that's just the way it goes, I guess.
You looked absolutely desperate to try and get a goal today. You had a few sort of half opportunities. How did you assess them?
Selfish at times. Probably should have squared one to Daryl. I've tried to go at a tight angle, and it's them sort of moments that cost us a game. And I need to start looking at that side of my game and just game awareness, really, and it's cost us, I think.
Is that because you've got such keenness and eagerness to get that goal?
Yeah, obviously as a striker you need to be selfish, but at times you need to know when to shoot and when to pass. But it's just one of them where I thought it was at the time I thought it was the best thing to shoot, but looking back on it, I definitely should be squaring that.
It's been an extraordinary week, really, for everybody in the camp, but particularly for you. You were holed up in a hotel on Thursday night for the Slovakia game. You went home, you came back, and now you're here tonight. How would you sum it up?
Frustrating. That's all I can say. In the UK, if that's the rules in the UK, well then I play the game 1.9 metres away from somebody who ended up with a false positive. I don't want to go into it too much, but to miss a game like that, I might never get the chance to play in a game like that again. So to miss that game, it's frustrating, and I can't really put into words how frustrating it actually is.
Yeah, Aaron Connolly there. Very honest, you would have to say, speaking to Sky Sports' Guy Havard just after full time. We're joined by Vinny Perth. Evening, Vinny.
Evening, how you doing, Joe?
Yeah, very well. We might just jump off with the Connolly interview there. Selfish at times. I thought that, very honest of him. I mean, you might feel you don't want to put too much pressure or have a go at a young fella, and you'd almost kind of be very fair on him, but it sounds like he's been pretty frank with himself. He was selfish at times. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, but I think strikers have to be to a point. There's no doubt you should have squared the one big chance to, I think it's to Daryl Horgan, and it's a pretty simple finish. But that's, Aaron has, I found over the last little while looking at him, I think underage, a lot of coaches, underage international setup, wouldn't have said he was the easiest to manage, let's put it that way. But I think he started to show a lot more maturity over the last while, and to be honest with you, he may have been selfish, but he was selfless in it. The front three press at times tonight was very good, and he led the line on that. And he's been really positive tonight in his performance. He's got to do better on that one chance, and maybe he should hit the target or at least make the keeper work with another chance. But I think he's been a real positive again tonight. He's one of the positives anyway. So it's a difficult one because it's the glass half full, and player you can hear real frustration in his voice, and it's probably that's probably the key word coming out of the camp for the last sort of three games, frustration.
And, not the easiest to manage. How, Vinny?
Listen, that's sort of what you hear. You hear on the training ground. He was at times difficult to manage, and look, it was a closed enough shop. That's sort of, you always hear about these players, but I believe he's changing. I believe he's been a lot better over the last sort of 12, 18 months. But okay. But you need to be like that. You need, like, you often find that the very, very best players over the years, no matter, even at my own level, I've seen the ones that are the very, very best players, you get a mixture. You get good players who are just great lads. But you get some other players, the best players sometimes, have a selfishness about them, and they can be difficult. Like they always say, Roy Keane was difficult on the training ground. So it's part of the course with really outstanding players.
And so that I'm picking you up right, you mean things like that selfish streak or doing his own thing on the pitch as opposed to disciplinary issues around the team or around the squad?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. It wouldn't be bad. And listen, they can cause bigger problems because you've got players of a lesser ability in the training session sometimes. But no, I've never heard anything sort of
like
off
that,
the field.
Yeah. Okay.
I've always been on the training ground. And but you're seeing, I think, the way he's led the line again tonight, I thought, in terms of his press and his hard work, was it never felt sorry for himself at any stage. So that's been really good, to be fair to him.
Because with the Horgan chance, you could hear Daryl screaming, Aaron, you know, this high-pitched scream when the ball hadn't come back to him on the penalty spot. I had actually thought that there was another player in the box who was closer to goal. I had thought maybe Connolly was trying to square it to him. And then he admitted in the interview afterwards he was trying to score himself. So it's probably doubly bad. As you said, you need a selfishness. The other side of that coin is things happen around him. There's no doubt.
Yeah, he makes things happen. He's got that little bit of, he's got that sort of X factor, I would say, in the forward area. I think he'll only get better when the chance falls that time from, I'm looking at Horgs and everything from a Dundalk perspective and how well I know Daryl, and I'm sort of willing him to pass it to Daryl. And so I sort of got lost in that little moment. But yeah, listen, he's definitely someone that we can say the glass is definitely half full with. I think there's real if he continues to develop and stay in the Brighton side, I think he's somebody that will definitely score goals for us and be a big threat going forward.
I'm conscious, Vinny, it was an early kickoff. Lots of people may not have seen the game. The goal that Ireland conceded was just so sloppy, so avoidable.
Yeah, even the TV coverage missed it. So, and they had to go back and show it. So Randolph just, again, they're trying to play out from the back, but they're playing out from the back and it's just a misplaced pass. And it was an opportunity to get Doherty away, I think it was. And just a misplaced pass, and you're punished at the highest level. And when things aren't going your way, like the chances Ireland had, then that's sometimes just the way it goes. So it's a frustrating sort of night, but it's been frustrating sort of camp with everything that's gone on for them. And I'm sure in many ways they'd be glad to get a break from each other and rebuild again for the next couple of games.
So 5 matches, no wins, 1 goal scored. That's easy ammunition for anybody who wants to paint Stephen Kenny's start a certain way. What's the riposte to that if you're taking a deeper look at the performances and what they're trying to do?
I suppose the first thing, like, we can't hide behind the facts. I mean, it's now, you know, still hasn't won. And there, you have to accept that. That's, you know, that's part of the job and that comes with it. But I think there's a couple of ways of looking at things in terms of, you look at Dara O'Shea tonight, and I was texting Richard Dunne during the game saying, he reminds me of Richard Dunne. And in many ways, that just, even if you think that one position, if this time last year Duffy was injured or was missing or suspended, we're not in crisis mode, but we would have really struggled. We've now got, you know, Egan, O'Shea, Duffy. We've got Long. We've got real strength and depth throughout the whole squad. We've seen in Darryl O'Shea, we've seen Connolly starting the game. We've seen real strength and depth in our squad. No matter, we're missing a huge amount of players and we still look really, really strong. There's no doubt that we need to start scoring goals. But we put a real structure on the team. I think it's work in progress. We do have to win games ultimately, and there is going to be a lot of noise around, and that comes with with the big job, and Stephen will have to accept that. But what's been a difficult couple of weeks, I've travelled in one of these COVID bubbles. It's difficult when it breaks down, and I'm sure everything that's gone on, as I said, to be glad to get away from it. But there's real, I'm hearing this word green shoots and things like that, but there is real sort of positives. The top Malumbi at times was excellent. I think he can still pass the ball forward a little bit quicker, a little bit more pace, but I think that will come with confidence. You know, I think that midfield balance of him and Hourihane looked really good tonight. If McCarthy's going to be injured the way he has been. So there's a lot of positives. There's a lot of stuff gone really, really gone well. But again, we've got to develop as a team. We've got to start winning matches. And I think this is the problem. We're heading into a World Cup campaign, and it's so difficult to qualify for World Cups. You've got to win your group. So people are going to have to be patient and look at a long-term view of this, whether they like it or not. And that's just the way it's going to have to be.
Where are you and Jeff Hendrick, Vinny?
I discussed this with the lads and yourself around in terms of the number 10 position. I thought you're caught. It's a balancing act. You're caught with a number 10 that needs to, in modern-day football, really cover a large amount of distance. But he's got to open the doors, and he did it once or twice, and you know, a couple of other times it broke down. But remember, tonight they played more or less a 4-4-2. There was a lot more space in that 10 position from tonight. So it's not a real true reflection. But when there was that much space from a real top number 10, creates a hell of a lot more chances and makes us a better team. And I still, after watching everything, there's huge positives. There's Malumbi's. I thought Horgan was very good. He actually helped Doherty in terms of his style of play. But we're missing that sort of X factor, that sprinkle of real quality. And I would say it's probably missing in the number 10 position. And until we get that right, yeah, we need a couple of chances. But tonight we could have created a hell of a lot more chances. We had had a little bit more quality or star quality in that position. Albeit, I don't think the plan would have been to start Hendrick in three games. I think Odell Robinson may have played in the last game against Wales. But so I thought myself and Hourihane, coins were a little bit leggy, but not major. So we need to fix that part of the team if we're going to be able to win these type of games.
Will we ever get to a point against certain teams, if not all teams, where we can have two in midfield and David McGoldrick, honest fella that he is, in the number 10 role and dropping back to help out, and somebody else leading the line with maybe more of a goal-scoring touch? Is that something you suspect Stephen will try and explore?
Yeah, I'd like to think he will. It's just my opinion. I think in teams where, against teams that are ranked similar to you, the very top teams would punish you if you went in with McGoldrick in there. But teams like, say, Slovakia, who would have been ranked the exact same as us, it's probably, and being away from home is difficult, but certainly at home, if you're going to have that much possession, you've got to, he is the one that looks like he can do that number 10 role. But again, you see there are different stages. If Hourihane or Malumbi is going to end up in the box, you do need your number 10 sometimes to give you a little bit of cover and balance and make a sprint back 40, 50 yards. So not going to do that. So it depends who you play against. Just isn't the Wales Hourihane type, unfortunately, player there that we need. I mean, there's been talk of, could Jack Bourne do it? It's still a bit early for me for him. I think he needs an opportunity and a couple of friendlies and see can he do it. But beyond that, I don't see that sort of number 10 being there for us in terms of what's needed in the modern day.
Yeah, it's been a while since we produced one, I guess. Wes aside, he was always the glorious exception. I don't know if there's something about what we're doing at underage level or beyond which explains that, but we don't tend to be blessed with many of them.
No, and I think it's funny you should bring that up. I was thinking about that during the game. Like, when you look at underage level, and you look at last night, I watched and I've read the book of Champagne Football. There's been a huge amount of work.
It ends badly. I don't know if you finished it.
It does, yeah. But I'll tell you what was happening in the middle of that book, what people have forgotten about a little bit. The amount of players and Irish based players who have been developed and are coming through at the moment. When you look, and it's not just League of Ireland, I believe League of Ireland cap. but in my head. But obviously, Enda Stevens came from Rovers. You look at Sean Maguire from Cork, Daryl Horgan from Dundalk, Mark Doherty, really at Bowles.
Yeah.
But even Jason Knight coming on there, he played his football at Cabin Teely, or you look at what's happening, there's lads from Galway in our pitch. We've got this sort of emerging talent programme that's developing young players all the time. There's a hell of a lot of good work going on in Irish football. There's a lot to be really happy with. I think if we put a manager under pressure as a football community at the moment and around the World Cup or the next 6 months, we may have to start again and let someone rebuild it. I think it's time to take a long view at this and say 21-year-olds, as I said, like Malumbi, O'Shea, Conley, all these players on the way through. Knight has played 6 times for Derby, like, I think, this season. So there's real sort of things to look forward to, and we need to be careful that we don't overreact and become, I think because of social media, we've come a little bit more like, you know, the British press and constantly commenting and looking for stuff. I think there's a huge amount of work going on underage and with young players in Irish football that we could actually put together, like create, for want of a better word, team Ireland, and build a team, build a community around all of these players where when they get together, there's a real togetherness, especially when you get so many young players coming together, there's a natural draw to each other. I think we have a real opportunity, and I think that can't be missed out. But, yeah, sorry, a long-winded way of answering your question. I don't see a natural number 10 yet. Troy Parrott, I believe, could play that, but he's got to do a lot over the next sort of 12-18 months to get to that position.
Yeah, he needs things to go well at Millwall for starters. Vinny, thanks so much. Great to have you with us. We'll talk to you soon. Much appreciated.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See dunluey.net.
Now then, you're welcome, Max. So we interrupted the football show. If you're just tuning in, Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar have just been speaking. We brought you the addresses live on the air. The short version is that there are obviously major concerns about the situation nationwide, not just on the border counties, but the data out of the north, hugely worrying, said Micheál Martin. Donegal, Monaghan and Cavan will go to level 4 restrictions. So nationally, Micheál Martin was making the point that the rate per 100,000 is 190 at the moment over the past week, 190. In Monaghan, it's currently 360. In Donegal, it's 353. And then Cavan, worst of all, is 571. So Donegal, Monaghan, Cavan will go to level 4. That means no visitors to homes, wedding attendees down to 6, gyms, pools, leisure centres will close, further restrictions on hotels and B&Bs, and everybody to work from home, if at all possible, except for the most essential of workers. There was no clarification on the retail situation. Sean Defoe mentioning before the outbreak there has been some concern of different restrictions either side of the border might lead to cross-pollination. No detailed clarification on the retail situation or the off-license situation, but that will come, I suspect, in due course. As for the rest of the country, we are 1 week outside of Dublin into level 3, a bit longer in Dublin, and not being adhered to was the general gist of Micheál Martin's point, and Leo Varadkar as well, the level 3 restrictions not being adhered to, therefore additional restrictions to be put in place from tomorrow midnight. So from tomorrow midnight until Tuesday, 10th November, tomorrow midnight, we will have no visitors to homes or gardens. In outdoor settings, 6 people from no more than 2 households can gather socially distant. No exemption anymore for sporting bodies. That's been removed. So the club championships will all be very much on hold, I would suspect. And people should not travel to workplaces unless they have to. And there is an intent to get face masks being worn as opposed to visors at workplaces. So that's from tomorrow midnight nationwide. Leo Varadkar finished off by saying we are more likely in counties to be going to level 4 than level 2 or 1. So that is where we are. A back to basics approach is what they were calling for. That's all just happened in the last 20 minutes or so. Back to the football. Stephen Kenny, we interrupted him. He was speaking after Ireland's 1-0 defeat. We have Stephanie Roche and Richard Dunn waiting patiently, but we will finish off what Stephen Kenny had to say first.
The goal that you conceded, that quickly taken free kick, a goal kick, I should say, do you get angry about the way that was done, or do you sort of hold your hands up and say, that's the way I want you to play, and so these things, sadly, are going to happen occasionally?
No, I think, listen, As I said, we've kept two clean sheets in the last two games, 120 minutes in Slovakia, 90 minutes against Wales, and we were good defensively here, including Darren Randolph has been excellent for us. And just, you know, you can't legislate for a mistake sometimes, and Darren's been very consistent for us. He was his 47th international tonight, and he's been very, very consistent, I think, for a number of years now. And just one of those things you have to accept. Difficult, you know, disappointing goal to give away, of course, but it's hard to believe we didn't score then with the opportunities in terms of in the crossbar, the posts, and the saves that were made. So it's disappointing. A lot of the players come in, acquit themselves really well. You know, so it's just we just have to accept a defeat.
A lot of positives, obviously, but it's 5 hours with no goals and a couple of defeats. I mean, how concerned are you about that?
Well, I think if you had everyone fit and you were playing in that, I think there's mitigating circumstances. We've lost 8 players through COVID-related issues, and we 3 players, including our captain Seamus Coleman and Harry Arthur, who were pulled out of the original squad, and then we've lost Dave McGoldrick and James McCarthy. So I think, you know, there are factors. The fact that we could lose 8 players on the morning of the Welsh game and still go and play Wales and play really well, play reasonably well and more than hold our own against Wales, it speaks volumes for the players, really, because they didn't deserve to lose in Slovakia. They were absolutely exceptional. Tonight we had spells where we need to improve, there's no doubt, on aspects of tonight, and then other times where we are very good. So it was a performance that was, Finland played well at times, and so did we. It was a pretty evenly contested match, and we had, again, we're in the dressing room wondering, you know, did we deserve to lose that, you know, and the answer is no, we probably didn't, but we have done so. That's not good enough from my point of view, but I think that, you know, I think the players have shown real character, and the young players that have come in have shown a good mentality, and I would be optimistic that they will go on and be important players for Ireland.
And finally, obviously you've been probably as badly hit as any country in the world, but a lot of countries have been hit by COVID this last week or so. Are you worried that perhaps the internationals next month in November, not just for you, but for all of Europe, might be cancelled because of this situation?
You know, I honestly don't know. I was speaking to, you know, some of the senior managers in the FAI. That doesn't seem to be the case, that they're still... it's plans for the internationals to go ahead, and I think that's the, you know, society must still continue to exist, you know, amidst crisis. You know, society, you must try and still live as normally as you can. Do you cancel everything? For how long do you cancel it for? Do you cancel it till the vaccine is found? When is that? Nobody has the answer to that. So do you just give up, you know, or do you still accept that there will be issues, but you must, through the element of persistence, still the values that, you know, we learn in life, and that's instilled in football, and the importance of football to the nation. Do we consider that and say, yeah, we'll still continue to play? So these are things that have to be discussed.
Stephen Kenny there speaking to Sky Sports, and with that I suspect he gets on a flight, gets home and tries to get a good night's sleep at some stage. What a week in his life, his head must be spinning. It has been eventful. We have Republic of Ireland internationals Richard Dunn and Stephanie Roach with us. Folks, thanks for hanging on. I know we're meant to start this about half an hour ago, but we are living in unusual times. Stephanie, your thoughts on the performance? Obviously result, not what we wanted, but the performance?
Yeah, I think, look, it's more of the same, isn't it, really? I think there's positives to take out of the game, but I think obviously the worrying factor is that we've only scored 1 goal in 5 games, and that's coming from Shane Duffy, a set piece, you know. So I think we had chances in the game that we didn't finish off, so it was frustrating to watch at times, you know. I think, as we've said over and over again over the last few games, it's been positive. There has been more positives coming out of the games, but it's about now trying to figure out how we can get the results while bringing the positive play to it as well, you know.
Richard, the stats looked very reasonable from an Irish perspective. They had more shots on target than the Finns. They had more shots off target than the Finns. They had 47% possession, which is very acceptable for an Irish side away from home. As Stephanie said, we're into same old story territory very early on here in Stephen Kenny's reign.
Yeah, and I think you have to be careful when we talk about the games and talk about it being a positive situation and stuff like that, because we're not winning games at the moment, and that's going to be a negative for all the players. They're not going to be happy that we're getting the ball, we're passing it a little bit better than previously, and for the end, for them, they want to win games, they want to qualify for the tournament. So in that sense, it's been a disappointing week. The positives will come when we put the ball in the back of the net, and instead of saying it was an unlucky defeat, it was a classy victory, and that's what we need to see from now on.
Regarding the general style of play, Richard, do you like what you're seeing? Do you like the intent to pass the ball? Do you like the way chances are being created?
I think it's good. I think the idea isn't necessarily a new one. We've had managers who've probably looked and tried to do that themselves, but then looked at the situation, the group of players that we have, and thought, well, winning games and qualify for tournaments is more important than any sort of style of football. When we keep the ball at the moment, it's very deliberate, very safe. We need to find that player who can make a penetrating pass, that centre forward who can make clever runs and finish these chances off, or else all the good work that does go on gets lost amidst the results.
I was listening to Damien Delaney talking on Virgin Television earlier, and he was saying, maybe on your point about the safe passing, that, you know, a team can get lulled into just keeping safe possession in the middle third. Are we doing that a little bit in your eye then? Is that what you're saying to me?
Yeah, slightly. I mean, going back to the game on Sunday, the Wales game, I think in the first half we had 100 passes more than Wales, but we had one pass less or something in there, the opposition half, than them. You know, so that tells you where we're keeping the ball. We're passing the ball between the two centre-halves, which goes down in the stats as a possession, but it doesn't affect the opposition as much. You know, teams at international level are happy to let you play in front of them, and at the moment, that's where we're at. We can't find that penetrating pass, and we certainly can't find the finishing touch.
Where are you in all this, Stephanie, on the type of possession that we're having?
Yeah, I think obviously the likes of maybe Hendrick and stuff has been getting a little bit of stick, particularly on Twitter tonight. I was on it and seeing quite a few negative comments coming back. But I think it is a combination of maybe the forward runs aren't as what I think our attacking midfielder is kind of having to do a lot of other stuff. It isn't kind of the traditional number 10 role where he's able to sit in and find gaps and look for those players in behind. I think he's having to do a lot of kind of defensive work, and he's kind of the first to start the press. So he's doing a lot of work in there, but it's just kind of getting that next phase where he can actually make those penetrating passes and be in better positions. I think it's all fine and well keeping the ball and kind of having good possessions, but we need to be able to kind of make those killer passes. And I think, look, chances, there haven't been really many, maybe Horahan against Slovakia, there haven't been really many real clear-cut chances that maybe the likes of, obviously we speak about Robbie Keane all the time in terms of how we haven't been able to replace him in terms of centre forward and goals, but I think we're definitely missing that kind of killer edge, and I think that has to come down to the players. The players have to be ready to take the opportunities when they do fall to them.
Dave McGoldrick can drop in and pick a pass, you suspect. Wes Hoolihan, unfortunately, is retired. Jeff Hendrick's trying to do it now. Do we have, Stephanie, the type of players who can play those killer passes? I mean, you're talking about half chances there as opposed to brilliant chances.
Yeah, well, I think, look, that's kind of what you're looking for, aren't you? You're looking, I mean, obviously Jack Byrne has been said a lot. He has that creativity and he has the eye for kind of that creative ball and that little through pass. But I think maybe when obviously David McGoldrick is playing, he is a player who likes to drop in and get on the ball. And maybe we need, again, the kind of attacking midfield player to get beyond and try and make that run in behind. Or the wingers maybe coming in to make that, because you need to obviously make the pitch long if you have your forward dropping in as well. So look, it's a difficult one. Like, who do you play there? Is maybe Alan Brown came in and he done quite well? Is Jack Byrne the answer? It's hard to know who the answer is, but you have to just look at the previous managers. Everybody seems to be playing Jeff Hendrick and giving him the opportunity to do it. So he's obviously doing something right, you know. I think he's at times frustrating to watch. I think he got caught in possession a couple of times tonight, but I think he always looks for the ball. He's never shying away from looking for him. So look, I think if players do come in and get the opportunity to play, they have to show that they're better than them and they're going to do more. And right now, I'm not sure who that player might be, you know.
Where are you and Hendrick, Richard?
I like him. I think, obviously, he's probably not lived up to the potential that he had when he first kicked on and started playing for Ireland. He's probably not achieved what we wanted him to do. But for me, I feel almost as if he's been too far up the pitch, you know, starting off too far up the pitch, and it'd be probably better a little bit deeper. And I agree with Stephanie in terms of, is that number 10 really a role anymore? You try and cover that space as a team, and you're attacking midfielders push up. And I think, like Stephanie says, we haven't got that player who can do these passes. So why try and fit someone into a position that we can't really fill? I think the joy that we got tonight, a lot of it towards the end of the game, was when we got the ball wide and we got crosses in, and people think, well, that's going back to the old way, but it's not. That's how you play football. That's how you win games. You try one thing, if it doesn't work, you get down the lines, you cross the ball. And I think for us, it's important we don't get too focused on we need a number 10 or we need to pass the ball through the lines and all this stuff. If the option's there to go wide and get the ball in the box, why not take it?
It's true. There's that famous video of Zidane at halftime in the Champions League final, and all he said at halftime was get it out wide and swing it into the box. So, you know, there is joy to be found at times with that approach. Both your lines are just acting up a touch, so we're going to redial you. And while we're doing that, I'm going to throw to Aaron Connolly, who was speaking after the game. He gave a very honest interview, Connolly. Had some chances, and on one occasion absolutely should have squared the ball to Daryl Horgan and didn't. That comes up in this interview on Sky Sports. Have a listen.
I think we deserve to win that game. I'm not even sure what happened for the goal. Obviously, we've lost at the back and they've punished us. But no, it's disappointing. It's another game that we haven't scored in. And you know, you feel like there's going to be a break sometime for us, and we'll put one in. But it just doesn't look like it's coming at the minute.
We just spoke to Ender Stevens. I don't think he saw it either. Did you literally sort of have your back to go and you're walking towards a halfway line?
Sorry?
Were you walking towards the halfway line when the goal was scored?
Yeah, I didn't see what happened. So I'll need to see that back. But obviously it's frustrating to concede and not get something out of the game when I thought we definitely did deserve something. Yeah, that's just the way it goes, I guess.
You looked absolutely desperate to try and get a goal today. You had a few sort of half opportunities. How did you assess them?
Selfish at times. Probably should have squared one to Daryl. I've tried to go at a tight angle, and it's them sort of moments that cost us a game. And I need to start looking at that side of my game and just game awareness, really. And it's cost us, I think.
Is that because you've got such keenness and eagerness to get that goal?
Yeah, obviously as a striker you need to be selfish, but at times you need to know when to shoot and when to pass. But it's just one of them where I thought it was at the time I thought it was the best thing to shoot, but looking back on it, I definitely should be squaring that.
It's been an extraordinary week really for everybody in the camp, but particularly for you. You were holed up in a hotel on Thursday night for the Slovakia game. You went home, you came back, and now you're here tonight. How would you sum it up?
Frustrating. That's all I can say. In the UK, if that's the rules in the UK, well then I play the game 1.9 meters away from somebody who ended up with a false positive. I don't want to go into it too much, but to miss a game like that, I might never get the chance to play in a game like that again. So to miss that game, it's frustrating, and I can't really put into words how frustrating it actually is.
Aaron Connolly there. We have Stephanie Roach and Richard Dunn with us. He's diagnosed an aspect of his play there himself, Richard. Selfish, need to develop awareness. He picked out the Horgan moment. I mean, if he had squared that to Horgan, you suspect that's a goal. You don't want to take selfishness totally away from a player, a forward player, but there's definitely occasions where he's not seeing the right option.
Yeah, I think it comes down to game intelligence, really. You know, centre forwards, they want to score goals, and if you get into the box, their first thought is to shoot. But it's just having that awareness, I suppose, to be able to almost sense people in better positions than you rather than seeing them. although you sort of go back and Stephanie's talking about the goals that Robbie Keane scored, and it's like, well, you have someone there who can teach people this, but he's not involved. So it's something I think the FAI should have really worked on and tried to make sure that you have got someone with the intelligence and the game knowledge of Robbie Keane within the setup.
A Damien Duff could surely say that to him, though, no?
Possibly, yeah, but Damien's a left winger, and you've got any wingers anywhere, they'll be desperate to hear what Damien says, but Damien will tell you himself, he didn't score 50 goals for Ireland or whatever, you know, so there's, it's like me, you know, I can't tell a centre forward how to make the moves like Robbie Keane can, and that's the thing, it's like, he's there, so why didn't they use him, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it was Stephen's choice. I mean, Robbie still had a contract with the FAI, so he was there if Stephen Kenny wanted him. I guess you have to let the manager make that choice.
Absolutely, and 100%, you have to back the manager wherever he does. I'm just saying that as an option, there is that option that he is there, he is available. And within our squad, we have a problem, and our main problem is scoring goals. And we have someone who can probably help out. And obviously the manager wants to go a different way, and that's grand, but it's there.
No, I take the point. Stephanie, thoughts on Connolly and his play? Like, stuff happens around him. He's a live wire for sure. Do you put it down to youth, the not seeing those passes? I mean, some players never see those passes. Even 10 years on, they're still doing those kind of things in those moments.
Yeah, I think, look, it's kind of a bit of inexperience, isn't it? I think he's definitely a bright prospect. I think every time he got the ball, you're kind of expecting something from him. And just at times, he kind of just didn't get his head up quick enough. He didn't pick the pass. And kind of a few times he could have set the ball off, or there was an option or an opportunity within the box where he kind of tried to turn and shoot, where he maybe could have set it off as well. So look, it's a learning experience for him. He needs to kind of learn as it goes on, but this is something that he needs to bring into his game, because you can see he definitely has kind of the talent to be able to, as I said, kind of get at defenders and make things happen. And he's definitely an exciting prospect, but it was frustrating at times to watch when he kind of didn't get his head up, and you can see the pass on and so just get your head up and pass it. But look, as I said, he's very honest in his post-match interview as well. I think he knows himself. He's a professional, and he'll hopefully go away and work on that. And in the next few games in November, he'll be able to hopefully bring that back and add that to his game.
Yeah. So, Richard, in broad terms here, are you, to kind of do a final thought from both of you, are you generally optimistic here with what you're seeing and like what you're seeing, or is there a nagging worry that actually we're going down too much of the wrong road? It was kind of hard to get an overall feel for what you're making of it.
I'm hopeful. I hope that it turns. We need to be very careful that we don't sort of take this positive spin things and let sort of losing games be okay.
Okay.
There needs to be an element that the results are massively important. I think tonight you look at O'Day coming in at centre half. I thought he was excellent. I think Enda Stevens has been brilliant. I think there's really good sort of performances from the players. We just need to not accept that getting beat, drawing a nil, getting knocked out of Euros is acceptable, and it's a positive, because the end result is we need to win games.
And it's kind of a seductive thing in some ways to come away from all these matches talking about how well we played, and maybe we're not used to having possession-based football, so we can get a bit too carried away with it. That's kind of your feeling.
Yeah, it's great. I'd love to see us play like that and we win the game. Then there's no complaints. There's no doubt from anybody. At the moment, we just haven't got over the line. We haven't finished off the chances that we've created. And I get there's a change and there's a new way and a new style of play that we want to get. But it can't sort of overtake the fact that we need results. For us to progress, for us to qualify, we need results, not performances.
And would you agree or not agree that this style of football is the best way to get results?
With the right team, it is. I think if we play like this, whether we can do this against Belgium or England or Germany, I don't know. You know, if we were to play a side like that, maybe our best bet would be to fight them, to battle with them, to make it uncomfortable for them. At the moment, the games are nice. They're nice-styled games. Our asset has always been that we have make games nasty. People don't like playing against us. We do that while playing the ball. And we just, if we can make the mix come together, then we'll obviously have a better chance. But I understand there's stages, and we're at the first stage, and they're kind of progress and they're changing things. And they will add different elements to the game. as long as the goal is to try and qualify for the World Cup, to not in 10 years time or whatever, try and look at a group of players we have now, try and get them to the World Cup.
Stephanie, what about you there then in overall terms, based on these five games, no wins, one goal?
Yeah, I think obviously similar. I think senior international football, first and foremost, you need to win games. But I think just going back over, obviously the hype when Kenny came into the senior international team was about how well he'd done with the 21s. And you just have to look back at how we started off with the 21s. It was a similar start. I think he was trying to implement how he wanted to play and playing up in the back and possession-based football. And I think it's really is fine margins, because in those games at the 21s, he got the breaks, he got the little goal, he got the goals and the chances that they created. They were able to get the goals and get the wins in games. And like, I remember watching them against Sweden in a stadium one at half time, and they came back out and they absolutely bossed the second half and really showed what they were about. So I think it's going to take time. I think really fans are going to have to be patient, because what he's trying to do, I think, is for the better of Irish football. I think it will be good for the future, but it's not going to happen overnight. And I think that's something that I think he's going to struggle with, because as Richard has said, we need to qualify for tournaments. And obviously these Nations League games are important for rankings and for qualification going forward. So it's going to be, I think, you have to be patient with what's happening and with the change that is there for Irish football. But I'm hoping that, as Richard said, we can kind of bring that playing style together and also bring in what's been there in the past with the kind of hunger to win and the passion and making it hard for teams to play.
Yeah, it's that tricky thing where everybody understands it's a process, and yet the games are also vital. There's not much room to go on a losing streak or not to get results. By the way, it's just gone 1-0 Wales full time against Bulgaria. So as for Nations League B, Group 4, it is Wales top on 10 points, Finland on 9 points, Ireland are on 2 points, Bulgaria 1. There is relegation this year, so that is one thing Ireland will absolutely want to avoid in the Nations League. Just a very final point, Richard. We had Vinnie Perth on earlier. You mentioned Dara O'Shea. Vinnie Perth was saying he was texting you during the game saying he was half reminded of you. So that's a very good debut for a guy. Slaven Bilic loves his attitude. We had him on the show a couple of weeks back. Seems to be an old head on young shoulders, very focused, no-nonsense type. You liked what you saw?
I thought he did very well tonight. I think he was captain of West Brom or maybe previously, and he's very young. He seems very composed tonight, and he looked like it wasn't his first international. So it's a real positive to come out of the week that we've had. And yeah, and many more performances like that. He'd be putting pressure, I think, on Egan and Shane Duffy to claim a starting place.
Okay, well, listen, thanks so much to both of you for hanging on with all the COVID stuff earlier on. Stephanie Roach, Richard Dunn, much appreciated. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
We will take a very short break. OTB AM will be coming at you tomorrow morning, 7:30, with more reaction to tonight's game. And again, yeah, confirmation, Wales 1, Bulgaria 0. So Ireland, second bottom of the group, 2 points to Bulgaria's 1 point.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.